You know, you want to hit the road. You know, that's definitely a Sagittarius thing, you know. The clouds are there, but you ride faster. You get beyond the clouds. You know? You get down a road you've never been down before, which is our dream. Okay, so this is in the category in service to spirit. It's fire. So you got the fire part of it, absolutely. It is also in a category that I introduced earlier in our week. The same one, the same category as Virgo, in the sense that it's one of the two that had been historically a renunciant. So it was not the sign of people who got married and had kids. These are the explorers, the visionaries, the philosophers, the ones that go where no one has gone before, with the pursuit of freedom. The highest octave is the love of truth. The lifestyles, adventure, philosophy, and exploration. Sometimes all three are together. Sometimes you can find the Sagittarius expression that is purely physical, but it's different from Aries. If we think of, let's say, the three fire signs, Leo, Sagittarius, and Aries, let's say all three are climbing a mountain. They would climb the mountain for different reasons. Aries climbs the mountain for one of two reasons. Either to get to the top first, or because it's there. While Leo climbs to the top of the mountain because they know for sure there's a film crew and it will be on National Geographic.
Sort of like Putin.
Oh, yeah, he does these adventures and he's filmed, yes. Okay, yes. And then, or Mao Zedong, it's the same way, actually. We have the Sagittarius approach. You climb the mountain because you have not seen the view from the top of that mountain, and so that you can see a higher mountain, so you know what to do next. There's a spiritual expression of it. I always like to say that the Sagittarius mountain climber is like the Peter Matthiessen school of mountain climbing, where you climb the mountain to find the snow leopard, or basically something really unknown, worthy of a quest, different than simply getting to the top first or fast. And the road goes on forever with Sagittarius. Meaning, the freedom of Sagittarius is not the goal, getting to a place. But rather, it's the freedom of Sagittarius is when you know you've reached your goal, that there's yet another place you haven't been yet. Very different than, say, Cancer. You know, if you could get Cancer to climb a mountain, when they get to the top, well, okay, can we stop? Can we have this be our fort? Our home?
Can we have lunch?
You can get
friends.
Right. The Sagittarius, it's like, oh my God, there is another mountain. Great. Now I know what happens next week or next month. So,
Would you say that Sag is primarily a mental?
What?
A mental energy?
No.
It's consciousness, but it's not mind. It's like there's a difference between fire and air.
Because it seems like the Sagittarius types that I've come in contact with, 70% of them are really in the mind, thinkers, and then 30% of them are more spiritual questers, where there is much more.
It's the distinction is between air and fire. So that both of them have to do with the mind, but from a completely different modality. Sagittarius is the tip of the arrow. To be able to see what you see when you go into the unknown and call it out. Air signs are the ones that rationalize and analyze. There's no rationalization or analyzing in that sense with fire. It's logos, it's consciousness, it's actually at a higher element, a higher octave than... Did you do the pyramid when you taught them the elements? The pyramid of the elements?
No.
Let me show you what I mean by this. Earth, water, air, fire. Densest, most refined. Pure logos, intuition, the way Jung would put it. The tip of the arrow. This is thinking. This is a feeling, and this is sensation. These two are archetypally feminine. And these two are archetypally masculine. Not talking about gender. So, this is the journey of evolution. This is the journey of involution. They're mutually supportive. So, for example, there are many men who start down here. They start with the earth, and they're up and out, fire and air. That's the typical masculine journey. But there are plenty of men that have the other approach, the journey of involution, down and in. In the same way, there are plenty of women, female gender, that are on a masculine archetypal journey toward fire and air. And they're mutually exclusive. It's like continually circulating. Fire, Leo, Aries, Sagittarius. So I'm starting with Sagittarius. It's at the apex of the triangle. It is the furthest extent of the intuitive function toward meaning, purpose, philosophy, truth. And the, as I say, depending on what level you're at, I mean, you could be just a physical explorer, or you could be somebody who just does nothing but explore different philosophies. But it's not like I just want to get more information. It's in order to find out something that's unknown, and which may be a higher truth. We boldly go where no one has gone before, the expansion of the self to the widest possible horizon. I almost said for its own sake, but here's where it's in service to spirit. Leo is for its own sake. We'll get to that later. It almost looks like for its own sake, except that the motive is the freeing of all beings because of the fact that you're breaking through to new levels of consciousness. You open the space for other people to also go there. It's actually a service. You know, you can have kind of a speculation. You know, you might hear about a community of people who are living on the mountaintop and all they do is meditate. It's very easy, depending on where you are in the wheel of life, to make judgments about that. Now, those are just people escaping from the world. Must be easy to be on the mountaintop and just do nothing and meditate. It must be easy for somebody just to be an explorer, to be the trail scout. If we look at it from a spiritual perspective, oh yeah, they're escaping. Well, you know, maybe some of them are. But I'm not about to judge the actual authentic motive of Sagittarius, which is to go do that work. Kind of reminds me of whether or not you, an example of this would be whether you actually think his organization or his work was good or not. Forget that for a moment. Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard, back in the day, He's out on the boat doing research. And the people who are at his school would say, oh, he just broke through to another level. He did that for us. Now I'm attributing a positive expression to that. Individuals who are doing that focused, committed work of going to new levels, opening that space for others to go there. The same way any good explorer is doing that for the people. So they can't wait to saddle up their horse and, you know, get on to the next territory. They don't want to stick around very long. Well, he not so much. He was cleared in prison because there was a Scientologist in prison with him.
No, he apparently, there's this new book that came out and he apparently got into it a lot in 67.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be distracted by that right now. Because we have to be very, like, focused on getting the essence of the mystery schools right now. I have enough on the digression story. This is a place on the wheel. Remember, I was talking about it being a renunciate place. It's not relational. It's not a relational mystery school. It's interest. It's an autonomous, sovereign, independent one. They can have friends and comrades, but the intimacy issue, being entrapped, they would consider it to be entrapped. There's a quote that actually captures, it's one of my favorite quotes that captures the essence of Sagittarius. Nobody ever really said it better than this. Thank you, Caleb. This is from the journals of Sir Richard Burton, not the actor, the explorer, who was one of the discoverers of the source of the Nile, as well as being the first person to translate into English the Kama Sutra. This is quite an interesting character. Anyway, here's from his journal. Of the gladdest moments in human life, methinks, is the departure upon a distant journey to unknown lands, shaking off with one mighty effort the fetters of habit, the leaden weight of routine, the cloak of many cares, and the slavery of home. Man feels once more again happy. The blood flows with the fast circulation of childhood. Afresh dawns the morn of life. Pure Sagittarian. Now, for the cancers in the group, you know, what the hell did he say?
The slavery of home.
What?
But we're talking about Sag. So it's not relational.
I like how you used to share about climbing the mountain. Sass climbs a mountain, and along the way you might meet somebody.
You can't, yes. Whoever you meet. You're going to the mountain shrine also. Can we share the same tent tonight? And then you keep.
You get to the top and you go, well, I'm going to go this next peak. Right, and everyone goes, well, I'm going to go that peak. Right. Okay, see you later.
So there's a also a mute. Now, one of the things I want to bring in about this, and about all four of the in service to spirit ones. The old word that was used for this category is mutable, mm-hmm. and there's an element of that that's useful to bring up, which is the fact that healthy Sagittarius, and actually all four of this category, are into change. Like changing horses frequently. In fact, it's vital that that occur. If a person is trapped in one thing for too long, you know, so there's like the world might say, pick one thing and just do that for 30 years and you get your gold watch. You know, be more concentrated, be more committed. But the commitment of Sagittarius is to continually change, to find the next element of truth. John.
So that and it's had a realization. So I've got the Sag job in Cancer. That's why I'm always changing homes.
Right. You're like on a quest
always,
for home. You're on the quest
changing.
For a home.
It's that's always, if I ever get settled in one place for more than 2 years, that's like unbelievable.
So that is why you can see how we came up with the imagery for the jobs. So if it's the Sagittarius job, it has that flavor of I'm on the quest for. I mean, if it's Sag rising, then it's the ultimate quest for the freedom that comes from the truth and the meaning of life. But if it's Mars in Sagittarius, then you could say, well, maybe what if it's Mars in Sagittarius for a man and it's Libra rising? The quest for conscious equal partnership, of which would be many, many different classes in that school. You know, we seldom you'd see somebody with that combination, being 40 years with the first person they're with. You know, they're taking the curriculum, like you. Sagittarius job is the quest for home. The destination in your case is home, but the methodology is Sagittarius. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
So it would be unlikely for you to actually find that home and live in it for 30 years.
Very unlikely.
Or even 10.
So it's intended to change. Intended to have many experiences. Many peak experiences. But now this brings up a shadow expression. We also have the character, the cultural icon of this, the workshop junkie. Now, not that I'm in any way being critical of people who go to lots of workshops, but it's the following example. The person who goes to the workshop, and at the end of the workshop, they're convinced they missed something because it seemed like everybody else got it and they didn't. And so they go to the next one. And it's the same thing. It's like everybody else got it, they didn't. Sagittarius job in the Gemini tribe. It's that close to liberation, because what that Sag version workshop junkie needs to realize, they get to take the workshops. There's nothing to get. There is nothing to get. They're the ones who get to, in the same way, if you get to the top of the mountain, there's nothing there but another mountain. How cool is that? You know? I mean, it's that simple, really. The road goes on forever, and we're the ones who get to be on it. That's the Sag. I'm Jupiter in Sag. Sag is really quite important to me. It's my own dharma. You know, the road. I love road songs. You know, the road goes on forever. So it's actually, compared to some of the other winds we're going to be talking about, it's less complicated. It's not as multi-layered in complexity as some of the other ones we're going to be getting into. It's brilliantly clear and shining. And its motive is freedom, and its highest motive is the truth. Now, having said that, let me bring up one of the other shadows of it. Saying that the highest motive of it is, the highest desire of it is the truth. Well, many people will think at a certain moment they will discover a truth. And then it forms an attachment. I know the truth. When in fact the truth is always in the present moment. There is no rigid truth. It's continually moving and changing. There's only the present moment as far as the truth. So many people on the Sag quest will become attached to a truth they have experienced, and then they hold on to that. Then it becomes a mental concept of the truth, rather than this pure freedom, openness to be experiencing really what the truth is.
He's talking about shadow.
Yes. But it's, in a sense, it's an honest mistake, which is why if we look at every one of these 12, there is the ultimate shadow of each of the 12, which is usually revealed by the generations that have Pluto in that sign. Pluto in Sagittarius. fundamentalism. I know the truth. Actually, if I really go inside, I'm not sure. But just to be sure, I'm going to force everyone else to believe the same thing. That's the real shadow of Sagittarius. It's where you're afraid that you might be wrong, or that you're not willing to have the courage to really go down the next road. And so you lock on to an experience of truth, and then that becomes what you impose on other people. That's a fairly well-known thing that can happen with Sagittarius.
So, was the Inquisition during a time when Sag was in Scorpio?
That lasted for 400 years, you know. That was a very long period of time.
It lasted 400 years.
So
Pluto was in Sagittarius.
I'm really open to questions and comments, but just because of the having to get the essence of it out, I'd like to just be a slightly more focused here. So how this would apply then to the gods and the goddesses? So one of the key factors is Venus or Mars in Sagittarius in relationships. One of the key things to understand here would be is that the person, say, if a man has Mars in Sag, if a woman has Venus in Sag, they want to be valued for that. They want to be valued for those characteristics. That's very different than being valued for other places on the wheel. So if you happen to be with a man, if a woman happens to be with a man with Mars in Sagittarius, what do you think the best strategy you can use for him? If he starts getting cranky or starts
getting catchy.
Yeah, get out. Go to the mountain. You know, go off on your own vision quest. Get out of the house. You know, you need to be off on your own. And this does not have anything to do with being around other people. It's like, get your connection to spirit.
But you're saying they also need to be praised for how much they know? Valued.
No, not for how much they know. That's more Capricornian. It's to be valued for their courage to explore for the truth. It's a very different form of knowing. It's like if you look at, say, the two types of teachers. There's the Capricornian teacher, and then there's the Sagittarian teacher. The Capricornian teacher is the knower, and they can prove it. But the Sagittarian teacher is the one who inspires people to go to the place they've never been before. They're the shining light, and there's spiritual teachers come in all forms. I mean, but those are the two most common ones. There's the hierarchical elder, the knower, and then there's the Sagittarian visionary that takes people up the mountain. But that, of course, can have a shadow side, too. Women who project onto Sagittarius, you know, they're looking for the spiritual teacher. I'll go up the mountain with you. But then they project onto that person that they know something about relationship. Extremely unlikely. You know, so then you find the fact that their knowledge of the truth does not include anything having to do with emotion, feeling, or the essence of intimate relationship. It's not their focus. Meanwhile, if a woman has Venus in Sag, how would a man value her? You certainly do not want, at any point, if you're a woman with Venus in Sag, want her to be your mother. Want her to be the one who gives you unconditional nourishment, as if it was a mother or counselor or teacher. You would value Venus in Sag for the fact that you're willing to go on her adventure. Which brings up an extremely interesting way of looking at relationship. And this is the other example I want to give. What if you have Sag rising or Gemini on the descendant? So this is how it would apply to Sag rising for relationship. It's the trail mate or the quest mate path. Now frequently what happens in our culture is that there will be a man and a woman get together, and let's say the Sag element is present. Say the man has Mars in Sagittarius, Venus in Sagittarius. So he's his idea of the sacred feminine is someone who will take him to unknown territory. It's a version of an anima projection. The woman's not the mother, she's the one who takes him into new territory. But what usually happens, level one, the guy says, "That's your department, dear." And basically gives her total freedom to go do that, but he's entirely not interested. Level two is that she does get him to go. She leads him into new territory. That's usually pretty good. I mean, that's certainly better than level one. But for Sag Rising, level three is where not only do you get him to go there, but then he becomes an equal participant in working on the mysteries. You know, going down a road he's never gone down before. And that would be the fulfillment of the relational path for Sag Gemini. And I'll tell you, I have worked with so many couples where it was the very thing that broke them up was the fact that the man or woman wanted a partner who would go where they go, but they didn't have the same commitment to a spiritual path or the quest for meaning. And that is a deal breaker, if it's Sag Rising or Gemini Rising. That is a deal breaker. I would not say that to everybody. That's the reason. It's like you're with somebody who shares their inner life, is on looking for a spiritual path, looking for the truth and meaning, and is willing to be that person who goes on that journey with you. That's the Sag Gemini one. So this is to just get, in the way we've done this before, I guess the only other factor would be, say, are there any specific gods and goddesses that would be associated with this? Well, the masculine expression would be anybody you can think of that's on this quest for meaning and purpose. The adventurers, the explorers, the visionaries, the philosophers, and so on. But there's a great story for the female version of Sagittarius. Some of you have heard this, but I think it's worth bringing out at this point. It's in India. At a certain time period in history, in both Buddhism and Hinduism, the belief was that you had to be a man to get enlightened. And along comes the woman who later became known as Tara. And Tara gains enlightenment. And as the custom in those days, upon attaining enlightenment, they would show up to pay homage to the person who attained enlightenment. The story goes that they showed up and said, "Tara, we have good news. You can now incarnate as a man." And her response was, "I'm absolutely certain that every incarnation will be as a woman." So she was a spiritual revolutionary. She basically brought a version of the goddess, a version of the feminine principle, into a culture that allowed for the usual ones, you know, mother, wife, caregiver, even allowed for courtesans, but not a completely independent woman who, by her own consciousness, gains the freedom of self-realization. That is, to me, the essence of the Sagittarian archetype for a woman. That is that. Interesting. So, do you mm-hmm. kind of get the essence of Sagittarius here?
You'd say that's Sag job, Sag tribe, if it was a rising.
I was saying that about for Venus and Sag woman, or Venus Sag woman. Yeah. Generally, it's really clear when it's Venus and Sag.
Yeah.
But,
Athena also?
Actually, not, because Athena is more of a city girl.
The modern day version of that is like a woman living in a covenant her whole life. Yeah.
What?
A modern day version would be like a woman who's taken a covenant to God and is going to be.
That maybe, but maybe possibly that's the renunciate version of it that could exist today. But we see that in both Virgo and Sagittarius. Yeah. So the person is not relational, they're looking for the truth. And service to spirit means it's not generally householder. You know, their commitment is towards the truth.
So what about Artemis?
Artemis. Let's hold off on that. There's a certain. There's only certain ones that have an exact one-to-one relationship.
Okay.